Please be seated. Are you feeling as chipper as I am? Having that extra hour of sleep? What a delight. I don't know of any other day I enjoy more than this Lord's Day. An extra hour of sleep. Well, how many had? Well, all right. What a delight it is to go to bed at midnight and say it's 11 o'clock. This morning we're considering what the Apostle Paul has to say about our seal as he addresses the saints, as he addresses you, who are also faithful in Christ Jesus. So please find the insert there in your bulletin with the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1 on it. Ephesians chapter 1. The first 14 verses there on the insert. And let's listen as the Holy Spirit is pleased to speak with each one of us from these 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, to the saints, to you in Ephesus who are also faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, having made known to us the mystery of his will, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father in heaven, we again come to you, the author and the perfecter of our salvation, asking again that you would encourage us as we consider our seal, and enjoy the application of that to our lives. To the praise and glory of your great name, we pray in Jesus' name, that only name given under heaven, on earth, whereby men and women and boys and girls may be saved. Amen. A healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading, sealed with the Holy Spirit, knows it and shows it. This is my contention as we consider verses 13 and 14, specifically of Ephesians chapter 1. We will see that our union with Jesus Christ enables us to listen, enables us to believe, enables us to be sealed. Paul uses three verbs in verse 13, which assure us that if we are indeed in union with Jesus, we will listen, we will believe, and we will be sealed. The first verb then is listen. Paul writes, in whom you also, after listening. Many of us are familiar with Paul's words to the Romans recorded in chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Paul connects our hearing with the word of Christ when he writes to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. His word to us here this morning concerning our ability to listen connects it with our union to Jesus Christ, in whom you also, after listening. We are reminded of Paul's words in verse 4. If we are to understand this idea of our being in union with Christ in order for us to listen. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And in verse 5, having predestined us. So at this point, we understand that there's absolutely nothing we do, according to Paul here, to be in union with Jesus in order for us to listen. Our passage tells us clearly that our being in union with Jesus Christ so that we're able to listen took place before anything was created. It was in the council of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they determined who it would be, perhaps even on a day like this, who would gather together, and some of us, perhaps, for the very first time, hear what God has to say about our seal. Nothing we do enables us to hear. The scriptures clearly teach us that when we come into this world, we're born dead in our trespasses and sin. And the last time I read about a person being dead, I didn't read that they're able to hear. How about it? So if you're hearing this morning, I would submit to you that God may indeed have brought you into union with his Son before the foundation of the world. You may be indeed his chosen child. And you'll know that you're his chosen child if this second verb that we find in verse 13 is true for you. You believe. But what do you believe? Well, under listening, you see, the message of truth is the first thing that must be believed. Jesus told doubting Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It was Jesus' encounter with Pilate on the eve of his crucifixion that we read in the Gospel of John. Are you the king then? Said Pilate. Jesus answered, you're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate asked. And that's what the world asks today. What is truth, if there can be any truth? So the deceiver spreads his lies throughout the universe. All ways lead to God. After all, there is no hell, so everyone is going to go to heaven. Jesus is a mere man. Jesus was just a good teacher. And if we seek to follow his teachings, we'll make it to heaven. That's not what Jesus tells us. Only through him does anyone have access to the Father. Listening to the message of truth. But he doesn't stop there. Not only are we listening to the message of truth, but we are listening to the gospel of salvation. There is no better news for those who know themselves to be sinners, objects of God's wrath, than to listen to the way of salvation. If you were to go to a doctor tomorrow, and that doctor were able to diagnose with accuracy, you have cancer. But that doctor is able to assure you that the cancer has been found at such a low level that there is a 90% plus cure rate if you allow this treatment to happen. What would you do? Whatever it costs you, you would be sure to go for the cure. Jesus speaks in a number of parables. The pearl of great price, the field with a treasure in it, of how people will sell everything they have in order to obtain that pearl, in order to obtain that treasure. And so it doesn't surprise us that Jesus says, if you would come after me, if you would enjoy the cure of the lifting of God's wrath that you deserve as a sinner, you will deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. And with Peter, we would say, we'll follow because you and you alone have the words of eternal life. The good news of salvation. Back in verse 7, he says it this way. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Are you listening to the message of truth? Are you listening to the gospel of salvation? If you're hearing, then our prayer indeed is that this second verb is true in our lives individually. But if we are going to be a healthy, a growing congregation following the Lord's leading, we must be a congregation corporately who is believing. Paul writes, in whom you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. Again, I'm reminded of those words there in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. And I'm reminded of those words Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer recorded in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Faith is that instrument which lays hold of Jesus unto our salvation. However, according to Paul in our verse, Ephesians 1:13, the message of truth and the gospel of salvation is specifically the gospel of your salvation. You and you and you and you. While the verb is indeed a plural second person you, the Lord Jesus Christ applies that saving faith to us individually. Do you marvel as I do the numbers of times throughout the Bible when a person comes to that crisis point of salvation, God speaks their name? I'm thinking of Jacob. The night that he's wrestling with that angel. I need to be blessed and I won't let go until you bless me. And what does the angel say? What is your name? Why ask for his name? Because it wasn't many years before that he went before his blind father and he said, "My name is Esau." Had the Holy Spirit convicted him? Had the Holy Spirit indeed worked that work of grace in his life? Was Jacob willing to say, "I'm a sinner needing your salvation, Lord. My name is Jacob the deceiver." Or what about the time that Mary's there at the tomb and she doesn't find Jesus? And she's quite sure this person who's come up behind her and has begun speaking to her is the gardener. And then what happens? The gardener says, "Mary, Mary." Have you heard Jesus say your name? In those crucial moments in your life, when everything that you expected isn't there, and you're at your wit's end, you're completely undone. "Bruce, I hear my name. And as the sheep of the fold of Christ, I know the voice is that of the Good Shepherd. I believe him. I believe him when he says, 'I laid down my life for you.' This is the good news of your salvation. Not his, hers, or theirs. Yours. Salvation. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him and Him alone to be your Savior? Have you exercised faith that lays hold of Him, knowing that His shed blood is for the redemption of your sins, the forgiveness of your trespasses?" Sinner, Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Listen, believe. The third verb is seal. After having listened to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, also believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I was tempted to do a second children's message, but our mind's eyes are vivid enough to catch the picture. I was going to have an envelope, and I was going to have a candle, and I was going to light the candle, and I was going to drip wax on the envelope where the closing comes when you bring down the lid of the envelope. You drop that drop of wax there to seal it shut. And then put an emblem on it. Emboss it. And in my case, I'd simply put a B on it because it comes from Bruce and it's easy. Bakenstow. I don't need any other letters. But when we have heard and when we have believed, the Holy Spirit is poured on us and we're embossed with Him. That seal on that envelope guaranteed three things. It guaranteed the genuineness of the character. It guaranteed the ownership. And it guaranteed protection. When we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we are guaranteed what we read in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If your lifestyle, if my lifestyle is characterized by these deeds of the flesh, primarily, we have no hope of inheriting the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Our character is embossed by the Spirit, and our lives manifest His fruit. We love. We enjoy. We have peace. We know what it is to suffer long know what it is to be kind, to be good, to be faithful, to be gentle, to be self-controlled. Genuine character is enjoyed. We have that seal of the Holy Spirit. And then we have genuine ownership with a view of God's own possession. Who owns you? Whose inheritance are you? Who's looking forward to spending eternity with you? You see how it's put just a little differently than the way we often think about it? We often think about with whom we're going to spend eternity. But when we're owned by God, He says He's looking forward to enjoying eternity with us. And that eternity we enjoy now in Christ. And so He enjoys us as His own possession. Your body's not your own. It was bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. So don't give your body to any other than Jesus. You're His bride. May He be your groom. And when Jesus owns us as His bride, He has His arm around us. Because the woman wasn't taken from the head. And the woman wasn't taken from the foot. But the woman was taken from the side to be that suitable helper. Whether you're married physically this side of glory or not, you're married spiritually to Jesus and you're at His side and His arm is around you, protecting you and keeping you near and dear to Himself. Just a word of parentheses, husbands, are you that to your wives? When your arms are around your wife, do they know that's Jesus? Do they know that's Jesus? To be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Paul would say to the Philippians, I am confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will continue that work until Jesus Christ returns. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our protection rests in our union with Jesus Christ, and we know that we're united with Him if we enjoy the seal of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do you agree with me? A healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading, sealed with the Holy Spirit, knows it and shows it. So who do we show what we know? And how do we show it? We do not conceal the Holy Spirit of promise, which is embossed upon us, both individually and corporately. Because you, Jew and Gentile, have been united in Christ to the faith once for all given to the saints, and united to Jesus, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Just as that seal is public on the envelope, so that seal is visible on the Church of Jesus Christ and the individual believers in that church. And so he says, let your light shine before men in the doing of your good works, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. If we peek ahead to the fourth chapter of this letter to the saints, to you who are also faithful in Christ Jesus, those who know it, show it this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Healthy and growing congregation, following the Lord's leading, sealed with the Holy Spirit, knows it, shows it. I'm ready to add another one, and enjoys it to the praise, the glory of the God who chose us in His beloved Son and redeemed us through the work of His Spirit, so that we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins and enjoying the seal of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Do you know that, Jesus? Perhaps this morning, for the first time, you're hearing the good news of your salvation. Don't leave this morning if you haven't closed with Christ without closing with Him. And let someone know about it. Those of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ because God first loved us, let's be sure that we're not covering the seal of the Spirit. Let's be sure we're not quenching the Holy Spirit of promise as He would bear His fruit in our lives to the praise and glory of our great Savior, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, what a seal you are, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to that covenant that you and the Son and the Father entered into before the foundation of the world. As redemption was determined and Jesus accomplished it and you applied it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for delighting to dwell within us, broken creatures that we are. who unfortunately, even though we're united to Christ by grace through faith in a saving way, nevertheless, still have remnants of that old nature. And we sin in thought and in word and in deed day by day. But we thank you that when we confess that sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We marvel in the great salvation that we enjoy. And we go forth in the power of the Spirit to praise and glory of your name. For Jesus' sake we pray.
Amen.